Good to see everyone this evening. Just put that up there for you to take a look at. Hope it came up. Yeah. I love every season of the year, but I especially like the spring of the year because life comes back into the plants and leaves come onto the trees. And as you can see here, fields burst forth with color. God expects us to appreciate His creation and the beauties of it. You remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies." We're going to spend a little bit of time tonight thinking about the lilies and thinking about us. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, and verses 28 through 34, it's the portion we're going to look at, but the context here goes back much earlier in chapter 6, and it's always impressed me that God, Jesus here, spent a lot of time talking to us about that He cares for us and loves us and He's going to provide for us and He understands what we're concerned about. And just as in the song we just sang, that we can pour all of our cares out to Him and we know that He cares for us and that He hears us. But just a familiar passage, but just by way of reminder, Matthew 6, and beginning with verse 28, he says, "Why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not also much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?' For after all these things, the Gentiles seek." And the Gentiles is just a way of comparing the Jews to all other nations of people. The Jews, supposedly spiritually minded. Gentiles, carnally minded. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about the Gentiles. They carnally minded, don't think about the things of God. "Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Is this a suggestion or is this a commandment? Don't worry about tomorrow. And how much time do we spend being at least concerned about tomorrow? If you've been watching the economy in the past year, especially the last 6 months, probably got some financial concerns. Not as anxious to go out and buy something on credit, I hope. Good time to be saving money. Good time to be content with such things as you have. Last spring's clothes will work this spring too. Good time to be spending money or saving money. Good time to be kind of stocking up in your pantry. Be alert to what's going on around you, but don't be overly concerned about it. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, because God is with you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've made the comment many times that I kind of wonder if Jesus had a little smile on his face when he said that. You don't even know what to worry about tomorrow. You can conjure up all kinds of things about how bad it's going to get. I'm telling you, it can get worse than that. But don't worry about it, Jesus said. I've got you. You just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll take care of the rest, he said. So, God here, through Jesus Christ, invites us. Through the Word of God. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Knowing that God loves us and cares about us, be at peace and let that peace rule in your hearts. See, anxiety and worry cannot be where the peace of God rules the heart. They cannot coexist. If our peace is in God and trusting in Him and His Word, there can't be anxiety. There can't be worry. Philippians 4 and verses 4 through 7, we often read, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just in the good times, but rejoice in the Lord in good times. Do you do that? Do you praise God when everything's going well in your life? Things are good? When you count your blessings? Do you rejoice in the Lord? But rejoice in the Lord always, even when things are not going good, when things are difficult, when you do have concerns. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. For the Lord is near. He's not far away from you. He's near to you. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication. Why are you praying to God about something unless you're concerned about it? It's not a sin to be concerned about it. It's a sin to worry about it. So there's nothing wrong with recognizing the situation that we might be in, being concerned about the situation that we're in, and because we're concerned, we're to present all of our cares before Him because He cares for us. With supplication, with intense pleading, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, thanking God for the answer to the prayer even before you see the answer to the prayer. Pray believing that He hears. And He's going to answer the prayer in the very best way for you. It might be a faith-building exercise. But pray believing and pray with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we know that God loves us, cares about us, He sees what we're concerned about, we're presenting our cares before Him. As we present those cares before Him, we can be at peace. And we are at peace. Regardless of the situation. Because we know it's in the hands of the One who can take care of it. Peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, the lilies and we are part of God's beautiful world. Consider the lilies for their beauty's sake. Consider the lilies. Who made them the colors that they are? How did that happen? Why do you have all the varieties of lilies and flowers and botany that we have all over the world? Why does it fulfill its particular function in that particular location, in that particular climate? Why is it some plants grow here and other plants grow in northern sectors that don't grow here? And some plants that don't grow here but grow in southern Florida, South Florida, I guess would be the best way to say that. Why is that? Or South America. They all have their own ecosystem. They all complement each other. We're told that the rainforest of South America has an effect upon the climate throughout the world. How'd that happen? Somebody knew what they were doing. And when we study all of these things, from the big picture down to the microscopic picture, you can't help but be in awe of the design, and especially the great designer, Almighty God. Isaiah 48 and verse 18 says, "If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, ever flowing." Rivers always flowing. And the water you see going by is not the water you're going to see coming by. It's there's more water coming. Israel in Isaiah's time had stopped paying attention to his commandments, had stopped obeying his commandments. And so now they're faced with this invading countries coming in and taking possession of their land and taking their people away. If only you had paid attention to my command. If only you had sought first the kingdom of God and his commandments, your blessings would have been like an ever-flowing river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Waves of the sea. They're always waving. They're unending. Now, that's not to say that there's times that the sea is just calm. But not normally, when you think of the sea, when you think of the ocean, Mediterranean Sea, big bodies of water, you think of waves most of the time. Your righteousness would have been unending if you had paid attention to my commandments. What had happened? They stopped paying attention to the commandments. The sea went calm. Calm sea is not really very interesting. If you were dependent upon pneumatic power to get you from point A to point B on the sea, and it's like a sheet of glass, you're not going anywhere. Unless you find a current someplace. Pay attention to his commandments. Isaiah 66 and verse 12 says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, never-ending peace, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." You can't contain the blessings that I'm showering upon you. "And you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees." That's a lovely picture, isn't it? All of our young mothers around here and fathers carrying their children on their hip. Sometimes carrying two children on both hips. Bouncing the children on their knee. That's a lovely picture, isn't it? Mom, dad, they're going to take care of you. You get tired, they'll pick you up. They'll carry you. You get kind of fussy, they'll entertain you. That's the picture God paints here for us in the relationship of us with him. He's not going to forget you. He's not going to cease providing for you. The lilies and we have a purpose. The lilies serve God's desire. To share beauty, for one thing, you think about, well, why did God make all of the different colored flowers? And so, well, one of the reasons, just because he wanted to. I think he likes beautiful things. When you read a description of heaven, it's a beautiful place. described to us in terms of that which is most excellent and perfect. The lilies serve man's appreciation for beauty as well. Why do we see in color? Not all mammals see in color. Some mammals that move around mainly at night see in black and white. Would you like that? Some people only see in black and white. But life is a lot more interesting in color, isn't it? We have a purpose. If the lilies fulfill their created purpose, shouldn't we fulfill our place in God's purpose? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "You are a chosen race, you Christians." Now you could, of course you could revert back to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And what's the purpose of mankind? Revere God, keep his commandments. This is the whole purpose of man. But Christian, you are a chosen race. Much like Israel was a chosen race, he says, now you're the chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's, a people for God's own possession. We are purchased possession, as we noticed this morning, purchased with the blood of Christ. Why? Why are we a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for God's own possession? Why? What's he expect to get out of it? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That you may revere him and keep his commandments. That you may seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why we were created. And if we fail to do that, then we're as bad as a flower that fails to be the color that it's supposed to be. Or the bird that fails to fly. Or any other part of God's creation that fails to do what it was created to do. Remember the fig tree? Had the leaves, didn't have the fruit. Fig trees weren't made to produce leaves, they were made to produce fruit. And he cursed the tree because it hadn't fulfilled its created purpose. Our purpose is to proclaim the excellencies of him, not only with the fruit of our lips, but with the deeds of our life. As we trust him and obey him and keep his commandments, we glorify him and proclaim his excellencies. The lilies and we draw their and our energy from God's provided source. Psalm 119, of course, the lilies, the rain and the sunshine and temperatures and all those kinds of things. But our source of sustainment is the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, "Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Nothing causes them to stumble. I think sometimes we get kind of close. When loved ones and relatives and close friends turn their back on God and turn their back on you and righteousness, when your marriage isn't what God tells us it is to be, things are difficult, whether there's stress and anxiety in the home, sometimes you get the feeling like, well, what's the point? But just continue to love the law of God. You keep doing what God tells you to do. And eventually, that will rub off on your mate. Those who love your law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Our source of sustaining power is God's law, His word. Proverbs 3 and verse 17 says, her, talking about wisdom here, has been talking about it for several verses, but he says, wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Walk in the way of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the commandments of God are the revelation of wisdom. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says it this way, the steadfast of mine, thou, God, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. The one who is steadfast, the one who does not waver in difficult times, is one who is steadfast because they trust in God and His Word, His promises. They trust in these pictures that God has painted for us in Scripture of the parent with the child on his hip or on his knee. They trust in God and His Word. John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. What have we noticed in our Bible study here in the auditorium from 1 John? How do we overcome? Through faith. This is the victory. Our faith. Our trusting in God and obeying Him, living to His glory. In the world, He says, you will have tribulation. He didn't mince words here. He didn't sell us a bill of goods. He didn't say, you know, if you follow me, you're always going to be healthy, and you're always going to be wealthy, and you're always going to be, everything's just going to be great. No, He said, you're going to have tribulation. But you can overcome the tribulation. Because I've overcome the tribulation. I've gained the victory. And you can be victorious over the tribulations you're going to face in your life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. If our mind is set on carnal things, you can just mark it down. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be upset. Life is not going to be good. But the mind that is set on the Spirit is life. And that means is living. It understands the difficulties of life, and it understands how to overcome the difficulties of life. It understands the source of strength, and it goes to the source of strength. It doesn't seek its own will, but it seeks the will of God. It seeks to, in the most difficult and seemingly darkest of times, to let the light of Christ shine through them as they keep the commandments of God. And they're at peace. They're at peace with themselves, because they know they're at peace with God. And though they might be at odds with the world and the tribulation of the world, they're at peace. Because they're at peace with God, knowing they're doing His will. The lilies and we do not and should not complain that we are not like others. Have you ever seen a tulip say, I wish I was a rose? It doesn't work that way, does it? They don't have the ability to even wish that, I don't think. Have you ever seen a rabbit say, I wish I was a deer? Or a sparrow, wish I was an eagle. Or an eagle, wish I was a sparrow. No, they fulfill their created purpose. And they're glad to do so. They don't have time to complain, and they should not complain. God did not create them to complain. God created the nation of Israel out of two people. And when they finally became a mighty people, and they were told they were a mighty people of God, for God's own possession, wasn't too long before they started complaining. Wish they were like the people in Egypt, or like the people round about them. Wish they had a king like other nations had a king. That all didn't work out too good, did it? Instead of enjoying themselves as who God created them to be. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, know that the Lord Jehovah himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know who you belong to. Know who created you and takes care of you. And rejoice in that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. He's talking about false teachers that had come to Corinth and boasted in who they were and what they'd accomplished by man's standards and so forth. But he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace wasn't wasted on me. Yet it's not I, but the grace of God working in me. By the grace of God, I was taught the gospel, and obeyed it and live it and live to his glory. That's what he's saying. I'm doing what God chose me for. What he created me for. And so as we come back to our text, Matthew 6, verses 28 through 34. Why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not also much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Yes, indeed he will. And as we noted earlier, Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God, let this knowledge that God knows your needs, he knows your cares, he knows your concerns, you're expressing your concerns to him in supplication with thanksgiving. Walk away from that prayer, rise from that prayer with the peace of God ruling in your hearts. What a blessing it is to be a Christian, to know that you're walking in the will of God. To his praise, to his glory, that he cares for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, but you've been thinking about that and it's your desire to be a Christian, you decided to turn from yourself, to follow Christ, to turn from your sins, to walk in the pathway of righteousness, that leads to an eternal home with the heavenly host, we'd encourage you to let that be known tonight. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. rise to walk in newness of life, and continue from this day forward to abide in his word. If you are here tonight and you are a Christian, but you have not been abiding in his word, you're out of favor with God. You know that. The scriptures tells us to confess our faults to him, to confess our faults to one another, and to pray for one another that we might be healed. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?